Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well. Feels like it's been a while since we've been here in Cincinnati, at least on the Sabbath. You know, we've between camp and traveling to South America and I don't know, other places. We've been gone for a while, so it does feel good to be back. Well, today I wanted to talk about something that I'm pretty passionate about. You know, it all started when I was a kid. I read a story about a traveler who traveled along the Andes Mountains, and he saw these beautiful sights, and he lived off of the land, and I don't know, had great adventures. Ever since then, I've always wanted to have great adventures. You know, I grew up in a small town called Cedro Woolley, Washington, and it's a small town with a long name. There's even a hyphen in the middle. But I always wanted to see the rest of the world. You know, and last week, I had the opportunity to climb on some of the Andes Mountains. Not way up high. I didn't do any real climbing, but it was an adventure. You know, I get excited when I talk about traveling. If you've ever talked to me about the places I've been, I love to talk about all the places I've been and the places that I want to go to. It's very exciting. And I love going places and helping people and meeting people. It's just fantastic. I think everybody should have the opportunity to do so. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the project that we just completed. It was a joint Good Works and Youth Corps project in Chile, in South America. And those of you who've never been to Chile or haven't seen it on a map, it's this long, slender country on the west coast of South America. You know, it's pretty long. Like, they have all kinds of climates there. They have deserts in the north, and then down south, you know, it almost touches Antarctica. It's a wide range of different climates, and it's a beautiful country. But I'm not here to talk about the country itself. I'm here to talk about the project and some of the goals associated with the project. So on this particular project, we took two volunteers from the U.S. and one from Australia. And Lena and I went along as both participants in the project and as coordinators. So that was exciting. We got to be a part of the planning process as well as participating in planning the activities and teaching classes, all kinds of things. Now, down in Chile, the assistant pastor he's in the south, in Temuco mostly, Jaime Diaz, some of you might know him and his wife Lorena, they coordinated the majority of the project. It was their idea, and they did most of the planning. Along with the pastor in Santiago, Chile, Jaime Gallardo, and his wife Mara. And there were countless other young adults and teens that helped with the planning from Chile. And it was really exciting to be able to work with them and to be able to bring this project around to an actual thing. It really happened. And there were some who were involved in creating pamphlets and posters and advertising for the project and taking pictures, making videos, made it really interesting. So the original purpose of this particular project was to teach English and leadership skills as well as speech skills to some teens in the congregation in Santiago. And they also decided to open up the classes to some teens in a local school. So that was a little bit different than some of the other projects that I've experienced or heard about. Now, the goal of the Good Works program that we have in United is to help people to help people. So it's enabling us to be able to help each other or help people who are in need. And it's a fantastic concept that we have. I think it's very biblical and what Christians are supposed to be doing. Since this was a joint effort, I wanted to talk a little bit about the United Youth Corps as well. And there's some overlap there. Good Works, usually, a lot of times they'll find the projects, come up with the projects, and develop the projects. And then Youth Corps, those are the laborers. If we need people to serve at a camp or to do physical labor, we have to have somebody to do that. So that's where Youth Corps comes in. They work together quite a bit in a lot of the projects that we have. You can ask my wife about the details. She knows more about it than I do. But one of the main goals of the United Youth Corps is to help our young adults envision and prepare for the coming kingdom of God. And they can do that through helping other people. I wanted to talk today about some of the goals that we had in this project. These are goals of doing good works, and they were very applicable in this particular venture, but as well in all the times that we as individuals or as a group go out and we're doing good works, we're helping people. And they're good lessons for all of us to be, to learn from, hopefully. The first goal that I wanted to talk about was providing youth with leadership opportunities. I think this is a really important goal. I've been a youth most of my life, and so I think that for me it's always been very important to have opportunities to learn how to lead and learn how to serve in that manner and be able to help other people. Now, one aspect of opportunities for leadership for the youth, and in particular in travel, is the chance to experience different cultures. If we never leave our house or our small town where we grew up, we're never exposed to different cultures. And that doesn't mean to say that we don't need to know every aspect of every culture. But even in the church, we have different people from different countries who speak different languages, and they eat different foods. They do things a little bit differently, and because of that, we think about this. We might think about the same thing in a different way. So if we're able to look at somebody else's perspective or look at a situation from somebody else's perspective, hopefully we can better understand that person, better help them if they need help. And the one aspect of the youth corps, one goal of the youth corps, is to help young adults identify with the international nature of the body of Christ. We're all one body, we're all one church, but we're from different places. And we see things a little bit differently, even though we believe the same things. Another aspect of the project in Chile, as well as other opportunities for youth to lead, is the opportunity to meet other teens and young adults in the church and to encourage them. I think that's really important. It's a unique experience for some if they've never met another young adult in the church, to meet somebody who believes the same way that they do and who can relate to them. They feel like they can relate to them because they're going through some of the same things. And I think that's a really important aspect of projects such as the project that we just finished in Chile. Now, also on this project, we had leadership classes, and that was an opportunity for young adults to plan and to lead classes and to be able to teach others what they know and to help them out. Now, one interesting aspect of this, of the classes, was I found out that in Chile, in the schools, the public schools, not a lot of the teens and even young adults get a chance to get up in front of somebody and to talk about things, give a presentation, or even answer questions in class. That's something that's new to them. So they, some of the teens were very hesitant to even raise their hand or to say anything. Now, the ones that grew up in the church, they were a little more ready. They'd experienced Bible studies or been to youth camps. So that was a unique opportunity that they had to, participate, to be listened to, and participate in discussions or add to classes or give a class. So that was really exciting. Another opportunity that we had was to practice language skills. And I practiced my Spanish. My Spanish isn't very good. I still can't. I can't pronounce my career in Spanish. Speech language pathologist. I can say it in English now, which is important. But I can't say it in Spanish. I've tried. I've tried hundreds of times. Now, for some of us, it's not as important to learn another language. For others, it is. In Chile, for the youth that are there, if they can learn how to speak English, they have a better chance of having a more successful career, of finding a job over another person, or making more money at the same job, the same thing that they've been doing. So it's a really important skill for them in particular. Well, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 22, and this is a familiar proverb. very applicable in the realm of working with youth. Proverbs 22, we'll read verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So this is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, this is something that we need to be focusing on in leadership opportunities, in projects where we're serving people, but also, you know, as families and mentors. All of us, we're the same body, and we all have, you know, we have the future to think of, and the youth are going to be in leadership positions in the future. And so we need to be providing them with those leadership opportunities if we want them to be able to be good leaders. Now, the second goal that I have is visiting the brethren. Now, this isn't necessarily a goal that you might see with a lot of, you know, projects where, like a youth camp, I mean, other than visiting the youth, but to be able to visit congregations, local congregations, it's a fantastic opportunity. Now, going along with learning about new cultures, we also learn about, we gain different perspective by visiting with people that we've never met, hearing their stories. And we had the chance to travel to the south of Chile, to Temuco, and after services, we all got together in a circle. Some of the more outspoken people wanted to do that. They're like, "Yeah, let's get in a circle. We can all talk." They weren't ready to go home yet, which was fantastic. But we had a chance to sit and to listen to people's stories. And we heard stories about people who had been in the church all their lives and the struggles that they'd gone through, some that left the church and come back. We also got the chance to hear from some people who had just come into the church. And they'd been through a lot of things, and, you know, it seemed like God was showing them that things are better if you're following Him. And it was really amazing to see, you know, some of the different difficulties that people go through. But if we don't take the chance to visit with people, to listen to people, then we'll never know those struggles. We'll never be able to share in those struggles. And we can't encourage people, you know, if they're going through the same thing we are, because we have no idea. Another opportunity that we had in this project in Chile that goes along with this goal of visiting the brethren was we got a chance to work in a house, or work on a house in the south of Chile. There was a couple who had, they'd been in the church for at least 10 years, and they were older, retired, and they at some point they built a small house on a piece of land, and they weren't able to finish their house. And it gets pretty cold in the south of Chile. I mean, there's not a bunch of snow, but the temperatures still get down to, you know, down to freezing or below freezing, and there's a lot of rain. And right now it's wintertime there. So imagine living in a house with no ceiling. There's a roof, but it leaks a little bit. And there's no insulation in your house. And most of the walls are there. The front door doesn't quite shut, and there are gaps in the windows. So it's, you know, unfinished house, and you have to live there, and they've lived there for 3 years. So we had the opportunity to go there and to help this couple out. It helped them physically because they had a place to, a nice comfortable house to live in, but also, you know, boost their morale. I mean, if it's a lot easier to concentrate on the rest of your life if you have a nice place to live. Now, it was I think the most amazing part about building or working on the house was that we hadn't originally planned to do this part of the project. You know, we were concentrating on the leadership classes, on meeting some of the teens and young adults, working with them. But a few weeks before we left on the trip, Jaime Diaz had found this opportunity, and it's a fantastic opportunity to bring people together to do a job. But it was really great because we had one volunteer who, he didn't have a lot of experience teaching or, you know, doesn't know a lot about, you know, a lot of specifics about leadership. But he's fantastic at construction. He's fantastic at building things, putting things together. And we didn't know that he would be essential for this part of the project. Only God knew that before the project happened. So that was really amazing. So we had this opportunity to help somebody in a physical way, but we also were able to bring people from these two congregations together to do a project and to build stronger relationships and to, you know, become friends with them. And that was really, I know it's really amazing. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Now, visiting brethren, being together with our brethren, does some amazing things for us in our walk as Christians. In Philippians chapter 2, we can see that visiting each other, visiting with people, taking the time to get to know them, helps to build like-mindedness. And that's something that's essential for us to grow as a body. So let's read verses 1 and 2 of Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So we as a body are supposed to be working on having one mind, being able to grow closer together. And one way we do that is by spending time with each other, by visiting each other. Now, this also helps us to demonstrate love to one another. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll be back in Philippians later. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So we're supposed to be serving one another. You know, we've been given freedom from the death penalty. And we're supposed to do good things with that freedom. We're supposed to be able to serve each other and show love for one another. Now, later on in the chapter, if you get down to verse 15, it says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And that's the direct opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're supposed to be serving each other, helping each other out, listening to each other, spending time, you know, and looking for those needs that each of us has. You can write down Romans chapter 12. And Romans 12 talks about letting love be without hypocrisy. Love isn't supposed to be, you know, full of lies and deceit. It's supposed to be truthful. It says, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. In verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In verse 13 of Romans 12, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, there are a lot of needs that are, you know, lots of our brethren have. We have prayer requests all the time. But if we're not talking to people, if we're not listening to them, we won't know about these needs. We won't be able to give hospitality to those who need it. Now, a third goal that I have that applied to this project in Chile and also applies to us wherever we do good works is serving others in this world. I spoke a little bit about opening up the leadership classes to the teens at a local school. And I mean, this was with the idea to build relationships with the community, help the community to grow, and also it's a good way to begin preaching the gospel through our actions. And it was a fantastic idea, and there was advertisement that happened, and, you know, we were all really excited about it. But only two students showed up. Only two students who are not in the local congregation showed up. And it was a little disheartening. You know, they were really quiet. They knew one person, and they kind of stuck with their friend, and they spent all their time together. And I thought for sure they were going to leave, and I couldn't go talk to them in that well. I could talk about different foods in Spanish. I'm good at that, but I can't talk about, like, why did you come here today? What, you know, who told you about this project? I mean, maybe I could if I sat there and they were able to take about half an hour for me to remember all the words or bring a friend so I can translate. So it was a little disheartening, you know, and part of me was thinking, well, was it worth the effort? You know, was it worth it going to all the trouble to invite these families with teenagers to come to this event to learn something that we thought was beneficial to them and to us. Turn with me to, well, just over one chapter, Galatians 6, and we can read verse 10. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So it says, especially to the household of faith. But it also, you know, right before that it says, let us do good to all. And when, you know, when God tells us that we're supposed to do good to all, he doesn't mean, well, mostly all of them. You know, we're supposed to do good to all people as we have opportunity to do so. And this was, in particular, a good opportunity that we had to potentially do some good for some people who weren't associated with us as a church. In Matthew chapter 5, let's turn there. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. This is another familiar, very familiar section to all of us. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 43, Jesus was talking here. And he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In verse 45, "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So you see, it's not just God telling us that we need to go do good for people. He's telling us that he does these things too. God does good for even people he hasn't called yet. God loves everybody in the world. And if we want to be just like our Father, we have to be doing the things that he does. We have to be serving others as well. Let's turn back to Philippians 2 before I let you know the rest of this particular part of the story. Back in Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 14 and 15. I hope you held your place there. Philippians 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So we're supposed to be shining as lights in this world. You know, it says, in this crooked and perverse generation. We're supposed to be different, and we're supposed to be demonstrating that difference, you know, demonstrating the fact that we're trying to show love to other people, and we do that through helping other people, through serving them, as we have opportunity to do so. Sometimes it's not possible, but sometimes it is. So back to the story of these two teenage girls who came to these classes. You know, they even thought they would be bored. You know, they said, one of them stayed for all 3 days of the classes. One girl came for the last full day, but she stayed all day that day. And the next week they returned to school, and their friend, who they know, who's in the church, heard them talking to their friends, and they were telling them about the program. They were telling them about the classes, and they were telling them about how impressed they were with the youth in our church, and how they were communicating. You know, they expected us to be, you know, a bunch of religious people from some church who were there to preach to them or something. But instead they saw a group of people who were communicating with each other, talking like family, and who had some good words to say. And so that, you know, through that project, we were able to shine our light, even if it was just a little bit, which is, it's amazing, because even a little bit of light can shine brightly in a dark room. A fourth goal that I have that I think was an underlying goal of this project, as well as you know, it's something that we can all concentrate on, is becoming passionate about our commission, you know, about the job that God has for us to do. It's, you know, it's easier to sit back and watch things happen. We need to be able to be passionate about it, passionate about the things that we know, and about working to preach the gospel and to prepare a people. And this is something that all of us are commissioned to do, not just some, but all of us. I think it was, I really enjoyed getting a chance to see how things work differently in the congregations in South America in particular. You know, I got to see one country and heard a little bit about how things are in Argentina. I wanted to see how many countries there are in South America, because I have no idea. Like, well, there's at least 5, I know. But between Central and South America, there are 20 countries, according to the internet. And of those 20 countries, we have congregations listed in 13 of them. Now, some of the countries have only one congregation. Some of them have, I think it was, the most I saw was maybe 4 or 5. So of the 7 pastors who are listed as contacts who are over those countries, only 3 of them actually live in Central and South America. So there's these 3 guys down there who everybody kind of, you know, if they have questions, they can ask them. So that's a lot of work for not very many hands. But I saw people who were passionate about preaching the gospel. You know, I got to see a live broadcasted Bible study in Spanish. I understood some of it, so that was nice. I had a heads up on the topic. I got to see how church services were run. I got to see how a little bit of sending out literature and visiting brethren, you know, and it really helped me to be a little more passionate about the work that I'm going to be doing, you know, the preaching the gospel and the work that we need to be doing, you know, when we're helping people, when we're serving. It's amazing the truth that we know. And God's going to be with us. This is an important aspect of this. You know, God has given us a commission, but he's going to be with us till we're finished. And even after that, you know, for eternity. Turn with me back to Matthew. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, at the very end of the chapter, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And this is where he gives, you know, one place in the Bible where he gives this commission. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus Christ believes in us. He gave us this commission. And God the Father believes in us. He gave us this commission. And they're going to be with us, supporting us in this work that they have for us to do. The last goal that I have is, this is an underlying attitude behind every service project that we should do, everything that we should do, actually everything. And that's to instill a Christ-like attitude of service. We should be working on instilling ourselves with a Christ-like attitude of service and helping others to have that same attitude. Turn with me back to Philippians. I still got my page bookmarked. Philippians chapter 2 again. And this time we'll read verses 3 through 5. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So this is the attitude that we need to be having. You know, selfless attitude, putting others ahead of us. As the next verse talks about, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." We're supposed to be looking at what other people need, you know, in some cases what other people enjoy, and putting them first. And verse 5, this is my favorite part, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, and that verse, I think that verse applies to the verses before it and the verses after it. We could read on if we had a lot more time. We could read and we could learn about the character of Jesus Christ. Now, he's like the ultimate servant. He's who we're striving to be like, you know, and we have to, if we want to be like him, we have to learn how to think like him and to have this attitude of service. Always be looking for how we can help others out, whether it's inside the church or outside the church, and always be thinking of other people before ourselves. I'm going to turn to one last scripture back in Matthew chapter 5. I think I like these two chapters very much, Matthew 5 and Philippians 2. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, This is talking about, you know, a city on a hill. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Everything that Jesus Christ did while he was here on this earth and everything that he does still points to God the Father. And we're supposed to do that as well. You know, we're supposed to have that attitude of service that Jesus Christ has and do everything in, you know, to point everything toward God. All the good works that we do are supposed to point towards God. So I hope and pray that we all continue to do good works in our lives, whether it's going on amazing, awesome adventures, fixing up houses in South America, or if it's, you know, right here in our congregation or in our community. You know, I hope and pray that we continue those ventures, continue to do good works, have these goals in mind, and do everything that we do to God's glory.